most customer support is missed expectations. They didn't understand how to do something or what something was supposed to do. And so they're upset and then they complain about it. So there's a great statistic. For every one customer who complains, there's 26 others who remain silent. And so if we know that there's one customer that's sending in a support request, we really look at that and say, why is that happening? How do we fix that? How do we, if it's happening for one, it's happening for more than one. I know that, right? It's always the case. And so most of us, we say, you know what? It's only one complaint. We're going to ignore that one. Not that one doesn't matter right now, but that's a mistake.
Hello and welcome to the Ecom Ops podcast. We believe that there is more than enough content focused on e-commerce marketing and not enough content celebrating the real heroes of e-commerce, those running the operation. Each week, we find and interview an e-commerce operations expert to share the secrets behind how some of this industry's most exciting businesses are run. I'm your host, Norbert Strappler, the CEO of ThinkSpider.
Hello and welcome to another Ecom Ops podcast. Today I'm talking to Jason from CX Formula. That's really a very cool company. And I just can read out the headline from the website: discover the secret weapon for success that's hidden inside your business. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, Norbert, how are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for being with me. Jason, please be so kind, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, and why it's so important for e-commerce.
Yeah, sure, man. So I am a serial entrepreneur. My name is Jason Friedman. I've been in business for, oh gosh, I'm going to date myself right now, over 35 years. I have run multiple companies. I've exited successfully, very successfully exited five businesses. I've destroyed a couple businesses and not done so well. So I have the whole gamut of experience. But the main thing that I do is I work with entrepreneurs, small business owners, e-commerce brands, you name it. And we help them really harness the most secret weapon inside their business, like you said, which really is their customers, right? And so we believe, and we've learned over the years, that as business owners, whether we're e-commerce, we're online, we're offline, we're mom and pops in a brick and mortar setting, we actually make it hard for our customers to do business with us. And we don't think we're making it hard, but we do. And so what we do is we teach people, entrepreneurs, business owners, and teams, how do we make it easier? How do we remove all the friction that's in the way, all the obstacles that are in the way of our customers getting major, massive, positive results? And then they get to what we call as the ideal result, where they rave about your business, they return to buy more products and services from you, they renew their subscriptions and their memberships, and ultimately, instead of just raving about you, they also recruit other people. They bring people to your business. They get people to buy your products because they're so moved by the results they got. That's what we do, and that's who we serve.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much. Sure. What is a typical customer?
It's so funny. You know, it's when you don't have a specific customer, it's almost like you don't have any customer, right? You're talking to everybody. However, if you have a business that has customers, that's who I want to help. Right?
Yeah.
Very big, very big. Because the formula that we use, so our main proprietary product, our flagship product, we call the Kinetic Customer Formula. And I'll talk about what that means in a minute. But if you have a customer, the only reason someone buys something from you is because they want some kind of result. If they bought they buy a product, they want that product to do something, to fix something, to make something better, to solve a problem, to leverage an opportunity. And what we do is we help you look at it through the lens of your customer. So I'm going to go back for a second. I didn't talk about this part of my background, but I was a theater person, right? Like plays and shows and whatever. And so when I was 8 years old, I started theater. I was behind the scenes. I built sets. I did lighting. I did sound, you name it. And over the years, I started doing it professionally. I traveled with Peter Gabriel, with Rush, with Fleetwood Mac, big bands, right? All over the world. And then I did it with more legit theater. So I traveled with Jesus Christ Superstar, Man of La Mancha, Fiddler on the Roof, Les Mis, you name it. And what was interesting is I saw we were in a different city each week or each night. We had a different audience every single night, and we had the same show. And no matter what, with the different audience, they would laugh in the same exact spot. They would cry in the same spot. They would jump out of their seats and applaud in the same spot. It was designed to make that happen over and over again. When I started thinking about it even earlier than that, I was like, you know what? We sat in a meeting with the director and the script writer and the project, the stage managers, And we put all the pieces together knowing that's what we wanted to have. We engineered those reactions. And so I started thinking, I wonder if we could do this in business. I wonder if I could actually authentically have someone be that moved, have a transformation like they have in theater on purpose. Why not? And so we started doing that. And as we started doing it, it was magical. Like every time we did it, it worked. And it didn't matter what size business, it didn't matter what industry, it didn't matter if the consumers were old or young, it didn't matter. What mattered was in theater, there's a script. And when we have that script, that builds a roadmap. And so what we help businesses do is really write that script. What is that script that you want your customer's reaction to be? So if you take your e-commerce business, they get your product and they receive it. What do you want them to feel when they got that? How do you want them to talk about it? Not just like talk about like weight loss as an example. Someone goes and say, I want to lose 20 pounds. The result is not the 20 pounds. The result is that they feel better in their body. The result is that they have more confidence to live the life that they want to live. And so how do we do that? Apple is a really great example. Just the package, when the package arrives, it feels different. And people talk about just the packaging. And so that's not an accident. That's by design. And it's because, not just that it's a cooler box and it looks good, it's because the reaction of the customer, when they receive that, it changes the relationship and it deepens it. And so that's what we help people do all day long, every day.
Cool, cool. So it doesn't matter which company it is, as long as they have customers, you can help them. Do you often talk about things? Because e-commerce, there's a lot about packaging and receiving the boxes. Do you talk about something like that when you talk to e-commerce customers? Or is it more in the direction of experience with email sequences and maybe phone calls afterwards? So what's the stories in e-commerce?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And the answer is yes to all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So we believe there's an entire journey. And the journey begins before the customer knows about you and they know about your business. There's something going on in their life that gets them to want to look for your product, to research a solution to the problem they're having. That's where their journey begins. And so as we work with brands, e-commerce brands and any other brand, right, we get them to understand that customer from the very, very beginning of their journey, which is usually, like I said, before they know about the product or service that you have, and then beyond. What happens after they've used it? What happens after they've been using it for a little while, right? And so it's so important to understand that because this is where like our course really leverages theater a lot, right? I told you, that's my backstory. If you imagine that you're an actor, I'm going to use Matthew McConaughey as an example, right? So you have Matthew McConaughey and he's going to get on stage or on film and he's going to play this character. He's not being Matthew McConaughey on stage. He's actually become that character. He's learned how to become that avatar, how to get into their head. And so the first thing we do is help you really get clear on your avatars and learn how to, if you were going to actually play them in a movie, how do you know them so well that an audience would believe that you're not you anymore, you're them? And so when I help you get into the mind of the customer that way, and then you start to look at their journey, light bulbs start going off. You have these epiphany breakthrough moments because you're like, that's when people say to me, oh my gosh, Jason, we are really making it hard for them to do business. Like, it's confusing. The first email we send them is getting them to be like, oh, this is too much. I don't want to do business. Yes. And so what we help them do is once you're in that character's role, in their shoes, looking through their glasses, then I can help you start to fix all the steps along the journey. So the emails make more sense. The packaging makes more sense. The instructions make more sense. The customer support interactions make more sense. And brands that work with us, what ends up happening is their customer support group becomes a customer advocate group. They end up doing more outbound proactive calls and emails to find out how people are doing versus solving problems because we've removed most of the confusion, right? Most customer support is missed expectations. They didn't understand how to do something or what something was supposed to do. And so they're upset and then they complain about it. Most of it is that. And it's all of that. And it's also learning from if we have one complaint. So there's a great statistic. For every one customer who complains, there's 26 others who remain silent. And so if we know that there's one customer that's sending in a support request, we really look at that and say, why is that happening? How do we fix that? If it's happening for one, it's happening for more than one. I know that, right? It's always the case. And so most of us, we say, you know what? It's only one complaint. We're going to ignore that one. Not that one doesn't matter right now. But that's a mistake. We've proven it over and over again. That's a mistake. And so how do we turn this reactive experience that we have waiting for customer complaints to come in to becoming a proactive brand building, relationship building experience? So we look at that as a huge opportunity and change the game. So in our world, we flip the funnel, right? Here's what happens in the real world, right? We spend all of our money on advertising, marketing things to get strangers to say yes to buying something. Once they say yes, we say, awesome, let me go find some more strangers. We don't spend time with the people that said yes. And that's a big mistake, Norbert. And you know it. You're laughing. And we all do it.
Yeah.
We all do it.
I still was thinking a bit about your words about support and that when customers write in, and I was suddenly thinking like, yeah, it's true for simple things. What about those complex things? Support often is not just that you have a complaint from the same educated level of people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's something where I say, yeah, for e-commerce, it totally makes sense. Because in e-commerce, what do? I buy a product, I use the product. Typically, it's a product that maybe doesn't even need support because it's maybe broken or something like that. But you are right. Yeah. So if there is a complaint about a product that you have purchased in the store, absolutely with you, you can proactively work against that and maybe make a business even out of that. But what about those complex products where you have, let's say, softer products that, where you need support? I think it's a bit harder there, isn't it?
I guess it depends on what your goal is, right? I had a 9-figure business, right? We had a call center and we helped retailers with experiences in their hundreds or thousands of stores all across the globe. And so we had technology, we had audio, video, lighting, scent, you name it, all sorts of stuff in the store. And stuff would break down, right? Stuff wouldn't work. Now, what was our goal for our customer support group, right? Our customer support group wasn't to fix their problem. Our goal was for them to feel supported, for them to feel happy. So our metrics were not, we close 24 calls per minute or 24 calls per hour. Our goals were we have 100% happy customers with every call. So it's a very different metric. So the way we measure success for that was a happy customer. And so the way we got them happy, ideally was to solve their problem, but we couldn't always solve their problem. Sometimes we had to send out a technician or we had to ship out a part or we had to do something else. But we could have them feel happy with the resolution on that call and know what the next step was. And so for us in complex, it wasn't about like most call centers, it's about the amount of time you spend and close tickets. It's not about the client's feeling about the interaction. Ours was about the client's feeling about the interaction. Tell you what, you make a lot more money and you help a lot more people when you make them feel good than when you just solve a problem. We used to work with a lot of Fortune 100, Fortune 1000 companies. And we would really transform the way they view their customers because it's the same problem. If you put all your love towards a stranger to get them to say yes, to become a customer and don't pour any of the love on the people that already said yes, what are you doing? You know, it's a mistake. It is a mistake. And some of the biggest businesses do that. And so we want to flip that, right? We want you to put more of your love and attention and care and obsess over getting your customers those results because those stories, those are the customers who are like, wow, they love us. They care about us. I feel understood. I feel cared for. They give you the best testimonials. They give you the best marketing stories to tell to get more customers that are like them. And it's a very positive compounding growth strategy for your business.
Fully agree to that. That's very interesting. What do you think? How could an e-commerce company start learning that? Start understanding what their customer wants and what could they do to really improve their, let's say, customer super fans?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the best way for any business to really understand their customers is to spend time talking to their customers, right? Like I would engage with my customers as much as I can and get to know them. And so I would read the reviews with an open mind and see what are they complaining about? What do they love? What do they not? I would reach out to some of them and ask them to spend some time and talk to them. And I would really go deep on getting to understand my customers, both their needs and their wants. And a lot of times, Henry Ford, there's a famous quote from Henry Ford. If I asked people what they wanted, they would have told me faster horses, right? They didn't know that they wanted the car. So there's some danger in directly saying, what do you want? But there is a dialogue where you can get to understand them and be able to pull out lots of good information. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that one of the exercises I have everybody do in our Kinetic Customer Formula program, Norbert, is we have them write what we call the ideal customer script, right? So I said, anything that's important, you have that script and then you can make it happen. And so in the ideal customer script, what I'm really having you do is I want you to write the ideal testimonial. So if you had a customer that came and bought your product, I want you to write not what the product did for them. I want you to write the journey that you went on, learning about the product, discovering the product, trying the product, using the product, and what happened as a result. I want you to share your path. And most of the time, that path shows your insecurities. It shows the lack of confidence, shows where you were not sure and you took a risk or you took a leap. And then this happened. And then the company, it could be like, look, I got my first bottle of blah, blah, blah in the mail and the top was open and it was spread all over the box. I was angry. I called up, they apologized and they sent me 5 more just as an apology and they were all perfect. And I realized, you know what? Sometimes things happen, but this is a company that stands by their product. Anyway, the other thing that was cool is the CEO put a handwritten letter in the box. Like, wow, that was amazing. And so I decided I'm going to take a chance. They took a chance on me. They believed in me. I'm going to take a chance. And I started doing what they said. I read the instructions. The instructions were the most simple, clear things I've ever seen on any product I ever got. And so I followed them one at a time. And as I went through those steps, what they said was going to happen actually happened. It blew my mind. How often does that happen? These people are amazing. Now I've been using the product for 6 months and everything that they said has come true. If you're not using this, if you have this issue and this issue, you got to try this because it just plain works. Get in the shoes of your customer, write that journey. And then while you're in that state, while you're still that customer, go back through and shop your experience. See what it is. Are you getting that? Are the emails or the instructions that clear? Is receiving the package that if there's something wrong, do they know who to call? Or do I go to the retailer? Are they confused? Are they frustrated? What do we do to make it easier? Start with the script, and then we can reverse engineer the entire journey that they go on and make it better. And it's a very simple thing to do. But when you know what you're wanting that result to be, you can start putting things in there. Like even in the instructions, you could say, listen, we know that sometimes you get a product, the instructions are hard. We try to make these easy. So there's 5 simple steps. Check them out below, follow them one at a time. If you have any questions, reach out. We want to help you. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, very cool approach. And I just need to think about, there is a book, especially for e-commerce, Don't Make Me Think, from Steve Krug. Yeah. And this is really an amazing book that explains actually a similar thinking. And it is what it is. Don't make me think. And if we can do that with our customers, I think that's really very, very beneficial for the business.
Yeah, think about the other side of it too, Norbert. So like, when we make it better for our customers, we actually make it better for our employees and our team. Because then they're getting more positive feedback, positive reviews, clients calling in with positive stuff, and they get to go out and they get to help become a better part of your sales force versus your problem-solving force. So it builds a really awesome culture inside the organization.
Very interesting. Jason, if there would be 2 or 3 things that you would recommend an e-commerce business to do right away, what would that be?
So first, write that script. I just told you that. Write that script, your ideal customer script. Nail that. Second, look at where the beginning of the journey, right? So they buy your product. There's an onboarding experience that has to happen there, right? Onboarding. How do I welcome them in to our family, right? They bought our product. Now they're part of our family and we want them to feel supported. How do I welcome them in? How do I not overwhelm them? Most of us think that onboarding is like logistics, housekeeping, all the information that you need to know. You're overwhelming them. So figure out, how do I welcome them in and give them what they need in bite-sized chunks? Let them, you know, how do you eat an elephant? 1 bite at a time. Don't make them eat the whole elephant at once. It's too much for people. And when someone purchases something from you, it's an intention. They have an intention to get a result from that product, but they're not yet committed. They're not sure. And so you need to engage with them and get that commitment. And so your onboarding process is an opportunity to build that level of commitment from them. So that's the second thing. The third thing is get them a win as quickly as you can. Time to first value. A win is a perception of a result. It's not like if your product promises to get rid of all their gray hair. They're not going to have all that happen overnight. What is a simple win that can get them to feel good? Figure out what that is. Figure out what a few of these little wins are along their journey before they get to the whole big win, and let them have those and see them and celebrate them. The faster you get people to a win, the more deeply that relationship will build, more deeply that trust will build, and they will feel good about their decision to purchase. That will build commitment, and that will build clients who want to rave about you, return, renew, and ultimately recruit for your business. So those are the top three things I would have you do.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Very good. And what would you recommend definitely not to do?
That's a great question. I think we make things complicated in an effort to make them easy. And I think I have a very good friend. Her name is Ann Wilson. She's an entrepreneur out of South Africa. And what she always says, she has this quote. She says, boring is beautiful. Boring is beautiful. When you're looking at the systems to interact with your customers and whatever, make them simple. The more complex things are, the more that can go wrong. If you can find ways to simplify, so don't make things complicated. Boring is beautiful when it comes to the systems.
Is there any memorable story that you could share with us where you really could help a customer and maybe have some numbers that underline it?
I had a lot of different stories. One of our companies, we work with e-commerce brands as we help them on Amazon and Walmart and other platforms. And we have one brand that was doing well. Like they were doing well. I don't remember the exact numbers at the beginning, but I'm going to say $20,000, $30,000 a month in sales when we started. Now they're over $1 million a month in sales. So that's a big jump, right? 20,000 to 1 million. The majority of what we did was work on the experience. Now, you might call some of it copy. You might call some of it photos. You might call some of it reviews. You might call some of it whatever. To us, it's all experience. So what does that mean? When a customer comes to our page and our listing and they see stuff, we've made it very clear how to navigate that. We use keywords. We do all the things that you need to get search volume and all of that. But we've also made it where you can understand what the product is and what the product does. So people actually spend more time on the product page and they convert. The conversions from the way we changed the copy from the beginning to where it is today, it hasn't changed much since we did that first change. Conversions went up like 1,000%. Like it was like crazy overnight. The pictures changed. The way we do the pictures and the images show the product in use and highlight the benefits of the product, but not just, again, it's showing the journey, right? So we're showing the journey of the people that are using that product. Our customer service and support. There's issues. Amazon covers a lot of things, as you probably know, right? They get a refund, whatever it is. But even when there are those things, we still reach out and we help and we support and we do things for them. Like that brand, like within, I want to say less than a year, they took over all the market share. I think they have 65% of the market share of everybody in that category. We're doing over $1 million a month in sales, heavier in certain seasons. It's seasonal too, so it goes up and down, but it's a category leader. And now we've added more products to the mix because in engaging with the customers, we learned about other things that those customers wanted to see that we would have had no idea. We would have just been thinking, oh, here's another idea, here's another idea, here's another idea. But we got feedback from the customers, and now we've launched a couple other products under that brand. And all of a sudden, like they all love them and they help to create them in their mind. Like they feel like, wow, we told them we wanted this and they did it. So it's built deeper relationships and customers are not leaving. So I think as you look at the things, we looked at it through the lens of the customer, not just through the algorithm on Amazon. Like what is the person, what is a human gonna see? Because at the end of the day, I can type something into the search algorithm and I could stack it with lots of keywords and lots of craziness to get more research results. But if a human being then goes to look at it and it doesn't make sense to them, they're probably not going to buy it. And like learning how to manage both sides of that. We got to manage to the algorithm so we get more people. But what we found is when we manage more to the experience and let people understand it and feel good about it, the algorithm takes care of itself. Because it gets more people looking at it, gets more people converting on it, gets more people buying it, so it shows more people. And it's a really huge way to do it. So again, looking at the experience, looking at the reviews, looking at the comments, looking at the questions, timely responding, going above and beyond with clients if they do have any issues or anything goes wrong. Amazon ships it. If the top falls off, it's probably something Amazon did, not something we did, but we still step up to the plate and try and help as the vendor.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any unique challenges that brands on Amazon face that others maybe don't have?
Amazon's a jungle, right? It's a hard place.
No, don't worry. It's always good.
Yeah, it's a hard place to do business, right? It's got a lot of rules. It's got a lot of craziness. There's a lot of competition on there. And I think the best brands stand out when you really, when you're customer focused, when you're customers first, and you really step up and do that, and it's consistent in your packaging and your design and your enhanced content and all of that, I think it shows. And the reviews start showing that. And that's where it comes from, right? That's where the mass, right? That's where you start to get volume in sales. I think for all of you, think about that experience. But I bought a headset for my phone system and my computer. And inside that, they had a little card in this. I thought it was great. It's, listen, you may be techie, you may not be techie. If you're not techie, call me. My name's Steve, or whatever his name was. I made that name up. My name's Steve, and I'm going to walk you through how to set up your headset, make sure that it works perfectly for you. If you are techie, call me anyway. I've got 4 or 5 jokes that you'll really appreciate. And I was like, that's awesome.
It's great. I love that.
That was great.
I love that.
It was really just a cool thing. They didn't have to put that postcard in. What? Most of the people that pick up that headset probably had some issue with connecting it, making sure it worked perfectly. And they're like, look, get on the phone with us. We're going to help you. And if not, we'll just tell you a couple cool jokes. We'll have a good time. You're like, wow, that's a cool company. That's neat.
Absolutely.
And now I told a ton of people about that, right?
Yeah, and I think it's already something that a lot of companies are doing to pack something in where the one who packed it makes a short notice on a nice sweet spot of paper with a picture on it, and I packed this for you and signature on it, and then maybe there are some sweets in the package. So this, we know that already. Yeah, but I still get enough packages which don't include anything, just a package, an invoice, and a shipping note, even.
Well, and so I think the thing that's different to me about this headset one than what you just shared is it's about making the product that I just bought work better for them. It's not just an extra thank you. Throwing in a chocolate, okay, that's nice. It's nice.
It's
but
nice.
It's not as useful as, think about it. If I get this product and I can't make it work, I'm going to leave a negative review. I'm going to return it. And then I've got, you know, it's messy. And so what they're doing is they're actually making, they're getting commitment from people. Because if I can show you that it works and get it all tuned up for you, you're going to be like, wow, this was great. And I'm going to keep this device. This was the brand that I bought was called Lightner. It was like $400 or something like that. And if I bought it and I didn't use it and I sent it back to them, now they've got an open box, came back. And what are they going to do? They got to repackage it, clean it up. It's a mess for them. So they found a way to make the experience of using their product better with a wow. So what I would say is, as you
cool.
think about that in the box, find a way to make it be around the product that you're selling, not something extra that doesn't really matter, something that's connected to or makes the experience better for what you just bought.
Awesome. Thanks so much. This is really, really helpful, I think, for a lot of listeners today to think about what you're doing, to really think about the ways and what you're doing. Who has taught you the most about e-commerce in your career?
Oh, gosh, the most about e-commerce, probably my partners, Dan and Dylan, in our Amazon business. Dan Metters and Dylan Frost are some of the top Amazon sellers and teachers about that. And so they brought me into the brand management agency. We've been good friends for a long time. I'm the CEO, and I kind of help with the growth of the business. That's why I grow and scale businesses. They know e-commerce and Amazon. I've learned so much from those two guys. They're geniuses. And just watching what they do and how they do it, and us debating about stuff, I think we've evolved a lot of our thinking on both sides based on testing things and trying things and seeing that. So it's been really powerful.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And it was really a pleasure talking to you, Jason. So much experience on how to grow a company by educating the customers the right way, the employees the right way, the right words at the right time. Make it simple. I like that. Make it boring thing. So this is really good. Make it boring. Yeah. Very good insight. And what we should do, what I also understood, is talk to the customers. I had this so often in the show already. When we talk with anyone that is somehow related into how to position a product, how to position a company, how to grow a company, everyone says the same thing. Talk to your customers. And that's really a fact where I think we need to dig into that much more as company owners to really get in touch with customers and asking them different things, but just those things you need to know to write a proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going into the customer, and that's the thing.
That's
guys, if you liked it, just give us a quick review, come back for the next episode. And Jason, thanks so much for your time.
Norbert, can I throw out a quick gift?
Oh, yeah, that would be more than happy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not going to, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I have a really cool PDF. I spent a lot of time putting it together. It has probably one of my best strategies to help you as you think about how to grow and scale your business. And I want to give it to you free, no strings attached. Just go to gift.cxformula.com/syncspider. You can put it in the show notes, I'm sure. And
we will.
It's awesome. It'll take you 10 minutes to go through and it will literally change the way you think about it. Go check it out, grab it. Don't be one of those guys that downloads it and leaves it on their hard drive though. Actually look at it because it'll help you.
Perfect. Thanks so much for that gift. We will Absolutely. Definitely push that. Thank you so much. Have a great time. Talk soon.
Thanks, Norbert.
And that's it for this episode of the Ecom Ops Podcast. If you enjoyed listening and would like us to find and interview more e-commerce operations experts, please search for Ecom Ops Podcast in your favorite podcast listening app and then subscribe, rate, and review. Until next time.